Welcome back to Yeah, That's a Pepper Thing. First up, we've got Harrison wrapping his Dr. Pepper in a tiny quilt so it feels at home. Oh, how tender. That's a Pepper Thing! And over to Becca, who's whispering affirmations to her can.
You're sweet. You're unique. You're the best thing I ever poured over ice.
She swears it makes it taste better. It's not a science thing, but it's a Pepper Thing! Why do they all do it? All for that sweet, delicious, truly one-of-a-kind taste of Dr. Pepper. It's a Pepper Thing!
Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, I've been teasing you with this question, but could your decor decisions be to blame for your everlasting lack of a partner? One woman has been single for a decade until interior designer and house whisperer Katie Malick told her about her virginal decor was to blame for repelling them. Katie joins now. Katie, how are you today?
I'm very well, Tom. Thank you.
I have to be honest now, I don't think I've ever spoken to a house whisperer before.
All right. Well, there's first time for everything.
How did you become one?
Well, I trained with Christian Kyriakou, who actually coined the term house whispering. So I became one through training and through genuine interest in bringing more happiness to my clients' homes.
Right. And how would you describe what it is that you do?
I think the name is a bit mysterious, but I think it's best explained as a very advanced deep psychotherapy of space. So house whispering really explores the deep connection between a person's psychological, emotional well-being and their home. So it's looking at the home as a mirror, as a reflection of what's going on the inside.
Right. And when you walk into someone's home, what kind of stuff would you see that would kind of speak to you?
All sorts of things. It's the artwork, it's the layout, colors, all sorts of stuff.
And would you pick up on some of the stuff as being kind of negative?
I would say that after having gone through the training and doing this work, I'm definitely more in tune with the energy of certain objects, so to speak. Sometimes it's really interesting when you walk into someone's home and you immediately feel that warmth and happiness, and it's not necessarily about expensive furniture or expensive things. And in other places you go in and you immediately feel not at home. You don't feel very welcome. So yes, we can pick up on things, but I think all of us can. We just choose not to be in tune or choose to be in tune with that.
It's funny. I would have thought if I went into someone's house and I picked up on that, you know, feeling, I'd be thinking mm-hmm. It's the people themselves, you know, that they have brought this unhappiness in.
Well, in a way, you're right, Tom, because as I mentioned, home is a living reflection of our inner world. So in a way, it's just our mirror and it's showing us what's going on the inside. So you're right. People naturally bring things into their homes, into their spaces, and they cause those things not to work or work for them.
Right. So let's just say we have people who are at you know, happy people, really, but there's something in the house just isn't working.
Yes.
How does that sort of speak? What are the big things that kind of speak to you?
Big things in terms of what might be causing the challenges in our lives.
Or, you know, something going wrong in the house that's, or someone else lived in the house or something like that.
Yes. So, I mean, it really depends. I would say it depends on the challenge that a person is currently facing, because there are so many different challenges that can be linked to something in the house. For example, once I worked with a couple who somehow could not move forward with their planning permission for doing some work on their house. And there was no obvious reason for that. But then after we've done the house whispering session with them, discovered that there were a lot of old possessions of the previous owner. And that energy, a specific item, I can't remember what it was exactly, but when I tuned in, I saw there was an item in one of the pieces of furniture that was particularly important in the process of releasing the tension that was basically preventing them from moving forward. And after we've done the session, within, I think, 2 weeks, the planning permission was granted. So it could be a lot of things. And you're right that it could be the stagnant energy of previous objects, which also relates to love. Sometimes we hold on to old letters, photos, or gifts that were gifted to us by other people, by ex-partners. And that could also indicate that we're not ready for a new relationship and could keep us in that old stagnant energy.
Right. And that's precisely where we get into that dating thing, which I have a strange feeling people listening to are all ears for at the moment. But that came from this article with you from the Daily Mail, where there was somebody that you've worked with quite a lot and they were telling their story and how the difference. Now, I found this absolutely remarkable because when you started working with this person initially, they were working in a job where they weren't well paid. And I think it was you suggested that they introduce a thing called a money corner into the house.
Yes, there is something. So I just want to clarify that. That was another feng shui specialist.
Yeah, okay.
I think the story, that story, I specifically worked in the area of love with the writer, with the author. But yes, there is something as money corner and there's also relationship corner.
Right.
So there are, in classical feng shui, we work with something which is called Bagua. So basically you can divide a house into different areas, and different areas are linked to different areas of our life. So different directions, sorry. So for example, southwest area of home is linked to romance and relationships that we explored.
The southwest corner. So anyone listening to this should make their way to the southwest corner and introduce what exactly to it?
Well, there's a lot of things that you can introduce depending on what you want to attract. First of all, I think it's looking at the symbolic objects. So if you want to attract more love and romance into your life, you would put in images of romance and marriage, maybe loving couples, pairs, like two candles, maybe a red lamp. You could also, if you like crystals, you could place a rose quartz in that area, or two rose quartz hearts. That's even better. or even a vase of peonies, but dark pink ones, I think, are the best.
Okay, so that's attracting love.
You can do a lot of things.
Okay,
supposed to help to attract love. Yes,
attracting money is a different thing. What would you put it? A wallet?
It is a different thing. Well, you might be laughing, but there are actually specific plants that you can place in those corners. And I think this is what Jane was referring to in the story as well.
Nice.
There's a Chinese money plant that actually is amazing. I mean, I have one on my desk at home and on my desk at work. And that should be in the area of in the direction of southeast. Yes, so for anybody listening, that's an abundance area of your life. And yes, you can display money and you can display pictures of yourself holding money. Lots of money.
People will know where they stand when they come to see you. They might put money into it. But then to stick with this woman did then later on in her life, she had split up with her partner. And this is when you came into her life, isn't you? And this is really the thing, isn't it? This is where you would walk into her space and there's just too much of her. What I'm reading of this is there's like this too much of her old life in there, and it's this
100%.
Yeah,
yes, 100%. That's why it's so important, and this is for, I would say, this is for creating optimal life in every area of life, is to have a clean home. It means devoid of clutter. So this is for every single area of our lives that can be helpful. Now, specifically in bedrooms, I think if you're holding on to old photographs of family or yourself with your very young child, if you have just one bedside table like this lady had, one lamp, one chair, everything, it just kind of indicates and sends a signal that you're not ready for a partnership.
No. One knife and fork, one spoon, one mug.
That's even worse, but yes.
It just doesn't speak to me of, you know, I'm happy to accept somebody else into this life. It just doesn't.
Exactly, yeah. And also not having space in any space in a drawer in a wardrobe.
Set aside so somebody else could possibly, you know, hang their jacket there if it went that way. I think the money plant has just spoken. We may have lost Katie. I hope you're all taking notes. The South. Katie, are you still with us? I don't think so. If you're taking notes, the southwest corner seems to be where to put things to try and bring love into the house, and the southeast corner for your Chinese money plant. So, and then the really big thing is in your single space. Don't make it look like it's single. Are you back with us, Katie?
I am back. Yeah,
oh,
sorry.
Thank God. Because I don't think you've really given us, but the one thing I most need from you at this point is kind of specific instructions mm-hmm. for what somebody should do in that room to try and make it look like they're ready to move forward with a new relationship.
Right. Okay. So there's a lot of things that you have to do. Okay. Let's start with designing for two. So again, make sure that you have pairs of everything. So two bedside tables, two lamps, two whatever in your bedroom. Make sure that your bed is not pushed against the wall because, I mean, that's bad energy as it is, but that restricts the energy. Make sure that you make a space in your wardrobe. So maybe you have some free hangers or free space in one of your drawers. Remove any old photos, especially if you have, and gifts from your ex-partners, and that is also outside of your bedroom. Remove kind of any old love letters and cards, objects chosen by or for a previous relationship.
Wow.
That's going to completely block. That can be blocking energy. What is really important is also to consider artwork very carefully. So again, if you have any paintings in your bedroom that depict single solitary women, however beautiful the artwork might be, this is a signal to your subconscious that the environment, concludes as a space for one.
Right.
Also removing any kind of very aggressive imagery above the bed. So ideally, you should inject into a space artwork that shows romantic pictures, ideally couples or romantic scenes. Doesn't have to be a couple. I don't know, maybe lovebirds, if you like lovebirds.
Right. It all sounds very welcoming and very, nice. And there's nothing there. It's going to make you want to get out of there as quickly as possible, which I think is very important as well. It's really to appear welcoming, isn't it?
Well, welcoming, but also energetically aligned with what you're trying to bring into your life. So if you're looking for a partner, if you want to find love, you should invite love, right? So I would also pay attention to, removing like dead plants, if you have any dead plants, or dried flowers, they're not good for energy because they represent stagnation, and you need energy for a thriving romance. So,
it sounds great, Katie. It does make you look like you're living in witness protection, but I wouldn't dwell on that too much. Katie, thanks very much for joining us. And it's lovely talking to you today.
Tom.
Katie Millick, my first ever interior designer and house whisperer.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.